Vertical Field by Fielding Dawson. On Christmas Eve, around 1942, when I was a boy, after having the traditional punch and cookies, and after having sung round the fire, my Auntie May at the piano, I, with my sister, my mother, and my aunts, and Emma Jackson and her son, got into Emma Jackson's car and drove down Taylor Avenue to church for the midnight service. I looked out the rear window at passing houses, doors adorned with holly wreaths. I looked into windows, catching glimpses of tinselled trees and men and women and children moving through rooms into my mind and memory forever. The car slowed to the corner stop at Jefferson, and the action seemed like a greater action of Christmas in a cold, damp Missouri night. Patches of snow lay on the ground, and in the car the dark figures of my mother and sister and aunts talked about me, and the car began to move along in an air of sky, at bottom dark and cold, seeming to transform the car, my face and hands, pressed close to the glass, as I saw my friends with their parents in cars take the left turn onto Argonne Drive and look for a parking space near the church. Emma Jackman followed, and I watched heavily coated figures make their exits and move down the winter walk toward the jewel-like glittering church, up the steps, into the full light of the doorway. Fathers and sons and mothers and daughters, I knew and understood them all. I gazed at them with blazing eyes. Light poured from open doors. High-arched stained-glass windows cast downward slanting shafts of colour across the cold churchyard, and the organ boomed inside while we parked and got out and walked along the sidewalk. I holding my mother's right arm, my sister held mother's left arm, mother letting us a little support her. Down the sidewalk to join the others at the warmly good, noisy, familiar threshold. Spirits swirled up the steps into the church, and Billy Berthold handed out the Christmas leaflets. I gripped mine. I looked at the dominant blue illustration of birth in white and yellow rays moving outward to form a circle around the Christ child's skull as Mary downward gazed. Joseph, kneeling wise men, downward gazed. I gazed down the long centre aisle at the rising altar's dazzling cross, and we moved down the aisle, slipping in front of Mr. and Mrs. Sloan and my buddy Laurie, Mr. and Mrs. Dart and my buddy Charles, Mr. and Mrs. Reed and my buddy Jean and his brother Ed. We then knelt away the conscious realisation of ourselves among music in the house of the Lord. I conscious of a voice that, slowly, coarsely, wandered. The I in see, hear me, I. We were on our feet, singing. And the choir swept down the aisle, their familiar faces moving side to side as collective voices raised an anthem. I held the hymn book open, and my mother and sister and I sang in celebration of God. The crowned and brightly decorated pine boughs and holly wreaths hung round the walls with candles lit high on each pew. I glanced at the gleaming cross, my spine arched, and far beyond the church, far beyond the front door, beyond the land of the last sentence in James Joyce's Dubliners, a distant door seemed to open away beyond pungent green of pine gathered around rich red hollyberry clusters, red velvet, white yellow centre of candle flame, white of silk, gold of tassel, and gleaming, glittering, eternally cubistic gold cross and darkness of wooden beams powerfully sweeping upward, apex for the strange smoky pneuma that so exhilarated me. I, who smiled and reeled in a vast, cold gaze down at myself, listening to Charles Keene's Christian existentialist sermon in time before the plate was passed and the choir had singing gone, and we were outside. I standing beside my sister, my mother and aunt were shaking Charles' hand. I shook that solid hand warmly, and I watched down the steps. My mother and sister and aunt again, and once again it rushed through me, taking my breath. My spine arched toward trees and streets, walking, slowly breathing. Deep I moved down the sidewalk, eyes crystallizing streets, yards, houses, and all lives within. My perception forked upward through treetops into the vertical fields of space. And a moment later, in the crowded back seat of the car, as Emma Jackman started the engine, I breathed vapour on the rear window, and with my finger, I signed my name.